All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Living the dream, baby.
Oh,
Living the dream.
Yeah. This is, before we started the show, you tried to tell me that you're in Key Largo or something.
Down at your beach. You can tell by the sun on my face.
Yeah, right. And I just want everyone to know that Penn's office in Key Largo is exactly like his home office. It's just, it's impeccable. Interior decorating, you must spend a fortune on it.
Well, you know, when I'm down in my bungalow, I don't want to miss home. So I set up my home office to look, my beach office, to look exactly like my home office.
Wow. Wow. Well, that way, no one ever really knows where you are.
Right. Yeah. Right. No matter where I am, the background on all my Zoom calls and everything looks exactly the same.
Wow.
Can't get one by me, David Moulton.
I mean, you couldn't just use a green screen. You had to go full out.
A lesser man would use a green screen. That's too easy.
Clearly.
That's too easy. But David, it is November 8th.
Whoa. Right? Yeah. Today.
I mean, it's November 8th. Does that count as winter?
I mean, pretty much.
Pretty damn close.
For us, right?
Right. And so, but I mean, I'm looking outside of my backyard. It's 76, 77 degrees. The sun is hot.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, yesterday I was like, why did I take my ACs out?
Yeah.
Not that it was like hot, but it was just like, I needed airflow.
So. Yeah, for real. All right, well, listen.
Let's get in.
I want to start this week. We always start with news.
Right.
I'm going to start with like a little bit of a traditional news because traditionally, and we used to do this back in the day, and then we got away from it, and most people, this is sort of how they start off like a movie podcast.
Wait, before you get into tradition, can I get a little Fiddler on the Roof tradition out of you?
Tradition. So let's start off with a little review of the box office this weekend,
okay.
Not only nationally, but Penn Cinema, as usual, you know, national results are similar. The reason why it's pretty unusual. What I'm trying to say is that it's unusual that any given movie theater would be too far out of whack, out of line with like national results. So consistent with national results, Let 'Em Go was the number one movie at all our theaters this weekend, the Kevin Costner movie that we're going to talk about on this show shortly. That means that 2 weeks in a row, Focus Features has the number one movie. Okay, so that raises two questions for me. First of all, Let 'Em Go was the number one movie with a $4 million gross. That's not impressive, but for COVID-19 era, that's okay. They're projecting, so here's my big question. Freaky, open with Vince Vaughn, the horror slash comedy that you and I thought it should have been released on 10/31. But Freaky opens up this coming Friday, and they're projecting it to do $8 million. What do you think? So I was talking to a high Regal executive.
Uh-huh.
And I apologize if I told this story last week, but I don't think I did because I think it just happened a few days ago. And I was on the phone with him, and I knew he was at his desk. So I was chit-chatting with him, and we were talking about movies, and I said, get on Fandango and look up Penn Cinema Lititz and click on Saturday, November 14th. And he did, and he burst out. I could tell when he clicked. Like, I could tell when the page populated because he burst out literally laughing out loud because I had nothing less than 16 shows just on that one day for Freaky. you would think that, like, I was – like, that's the kind of thing in, you know, a year ago, that's what we did for Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, that's a Star Wars schedule. You got 16 shows of one movie playing on the opening weekend. But I think that's where we're at, is that a movie that promises to perhaps make $8 million, we're treating that like it's freaking Star Wars getting ready to open up. So we have this weekend at Penn Cinema, we have a new movie called Freaky, which we're talking about, going to be the big number one movie. We also have an artsy movie that you and I talked about called Ammonite, which I think is going to appeal to people who appreciate like the period pieces. We also have The Climb, which is a drama, a buddy drama, which I thought was about biking, but it turns out it just sort of coincidentally takes place. Like one of the key moments happen while they're on a bike. But anyway, The Climb looks like a really interesting movie, a little artsy. I don't expect it to do much business. I put The Climb in Theater One, which is our smallest theater, but it's a really nice sort of cozy. Theater One is a great theater for a small movie. I have Ammonite down in Theater Seven because that's like also a nice cozy theater, pretty quiet. Theater Seven doesn't, it only has a little Theater Eight next to it. And then we're also bringing back Guardians of the Galaxy and Goonies. So my question for people, if anybody wants to get cute and give me a prediction, podcast@penncinema.com, what is Freaky going to do? And did I bet too big on it by putting 16 shows on Saturday, November 14th.
I think Freaky looks great. I hope people go out and see it. I think it was hilarious, actually. Like, I'm really, really excited to see Freaky. And I hope the new showtimes work out. I mean, I don't know if it's going to change the amount of people that come out. It's kind of a weird situation we're in. But I know maybe it will. Because, you know, even for me, who, you know, we see the movies for the show or whatever, it, rightfully so, the times that you guys have movies are, you know, condensed and everything. And it's almost like, man, this is not the most convenient.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you have more shows, that gives a lot more options for people to come out. So
that's what we're shooting for. There, it's an interesting question. And one of the reasons why it's an interesting question is because this week I bet big on Toy Story and lost.
Ooh.
Did you see that coming? So Toy Story finished outside of the top five. Wow. Now, I thought Toy Story was fixing to be the number one movie.
Do you think you picked the wrong Toy Story?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. I didn't get to pick.
Oh.
Disney was re-releasing Toy Story, and that's also true this week with Guardians of the Galaxy. That's a Disney re-release. And our experience so far has that when Disney re-released something, there has been some energy behind it, some support from the studio. And with Toy Story being sort of an iconic, legendary movie, I really thought it was going to do – I thought it was beloved. I thought it was going to – I don't know. Probably I was wrong to think it was going to be number one. But I really thought it would be number two or three. And then the other thing that was a factor this weekend, as we've talked about, but we haven't talked about in a long time, weather is always a factor. And with this weekend being beautiful, if I had little kids, I'd take them to the park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not taking your kids – you're not looking out the window this afternoon and going, boy, what should we do with our little – kids who always have so much energy, let's go coop them up inside a movie theater.
Right.
You know, you want to take those kids to the park. There's a beautiful new park that was built in Lititz. One of the things that makes it so special is that it was designed for kids with special needs in mind. And I drove by it this morning and it was packed. I mean, wow. It was shoulder to shoulder, kids and families and everybody out there having a good time out in the sunshine, as they should be. So my point is just that, you know, probably the weather affected Toy Story, but probably not to the point. Like I'm still surprised that it didn't do better than it did.
See, my theory in this department would be that it's the wrong Toy Story.
Yeah.
Because not that Toy Story is not good, but I feel like being the oldest, obviously, of all of them, and unfortunately the least visually spectacular now of all of them. Also, I would feel like most people with kids in this age bracket, if they own one of the Toy Story movies, they own Toy Story 1.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they might not have the other ones to show the kids. So, I don't know.
All right, two more pieces of exhibition news, and then we can move on to more industry-related news. First of all, I want to throw our boy under the bus.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to name names.
Yeah?
But his initials are Drew Schaefer.
Oof.
But, you know, like I said, I want to be, you know, I want to just keep that between us. I'm not trying to, you know.
Do you mean do you mean father-to-be Drew Schaefer?
What? Congratulations and shout out to our very own Drew Schaefer, father-to-be, expecting a beautiful baby girl with his wife, Alexis, in May, I believe, of 2021, just in time for the big May releases.
Yeah.
That's what we do at Penn Cinema. Everything we do, we plan it out according to the release calendar. So Alexis is going to release the baby girl in May. But we could not be happier.
Yeah, it's exciting news.
Drew, obviously an incredibly important part of the Penn Cinema family. And I don't know if everybody is aware, but Alexis, his lovely wife, she came up the ranks of Penn Cinema as well. She started here when she was just a kid and rose to be a manager and stayed for a while till she became a teacher. And we just couldn't be happier for the two of them and their whole family. Really, really, really wonderful. But anyway, let me get back to throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in my office, our office. We're sitting in our office, and Drew sends me an email. First of all, it's funny. We often sit in the same exact room but send each other emails.
Well, I was going to ask, because your desks are opposite sides of the room, and it's a big room. Like, you guys, to people to be clear, this is also their conference room and lounge, executive lounge area.
It's the executive lounge area. It's not at all the nap room. No. Executive lounge area. So he sends me an email with a link to this movie, Fat Man. Do you remember Fat Man?
Yeah, starring, what's his name? The guy who didn't do so good anymore.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, yeah.
Sorry, Mel Gibson as Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is the target of a revenge plot to kill him from some disgruntled child and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So Drew sends me an email that says, have you ever heard of this movie? This was like 2 days ago, like a couple days ago.
What?
I said, Drew, have I ever heard of this movie? I watched a movie on the podcast. I talked about it on the podcast. Where? What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Time that you're not listening to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Oh,
we
man.
Had a good laugh, but in the end, I decided to give Drew a pass because the poor bastard has to hear my voice all day long, every single day. The last thing this guy wants to do
when he's listen not to you work. More.
Oh my God, here he goes again. All right, so the question that Drew emailed me about was this little weird movie, should we consider, you know, is it on your radar? Should we consider opening it?
All right. Let me say this. All of my friends who listen to the show, except for Drew, all my friends who listen to the show, they were all like, we got to go see Fat Man.
All right, I'm getting it.
So,
all right. podcast@penncinema.com if you think we should get it.
Yeah.
I really want to get it. Yeah. All right, my last little piece of news, I say with – I don't want to be over dramatic and call it like a heavy heart or whatever like that, but you've heard me talk about him on the show for as long as we've had the show. And Chris Moclair is the last man standing. So what I mean by that is my boy, Chris, I mean, he's a Giants fan, but we love him anyway. Chris is my Sony rep and has been, unless my memory is somehow flawed, I believe he's my only Sony rep dating all the way back to 2007 when I started booking my own movies.
Ooh.
We opened the theater in 2006, but we didn't start booking our own movies till late 07. So anyway, Chris now, I don't quite know the polite way to put it, but I mean, he got bumped. He's out. We got an email.
Voted off the island.
What's that?
He got voted off the island.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tragic, and it's really an example of, like, the studios are taking drastic measures to manage their budgets, and I mean, I guess when I'm not talking about a dear friend of mine, I say things like, hey, everybody, we all got to do what we got to do to be alive in 2021. You know, but it just hurts when you see that what you got to do has such a direct effect on someone that you care about. So I want to give a big shout out to my boy, Chris Moclair. He has been an absolutely rock solid rep for us. I love working with him. I have screwed up many, many times, and he has been quick to have my back and make it seem like it was just all no big deal, and never lost his temper with me, even when he certainly would have been in his well within his rights. So anyway, Chris, we wish you the very best, and good luck in your in whatever the next chapter of your life. I think the thing that made this really hard for us is, or for me, is that like the email, it was announced on like Friday that Monday would be his last day. You know what I mean? Like, so it clearly wasn't like, you know, it had to hurt. It had to suck. And anyway, so shout out to Chris. Wish him nothing but the best. And I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not, but it's the right thing to do to give him a shout out. So there you go.
Have you told his replacement that they have a lot to live up to?
Yeah, I mean, I know his replacements. They, you know, I've dealt with them before. Like, for example, when Chris goes away on vacation or something like that, you know, I deal with them, Raphael, and I forget the other. But yeah, I mean, they're great. They're going to be fine. It'll be easy to work with them, and they're lovely people. Stella is the other one, Stella and Raph. And so, you know, they'll be fine to work with. Sony's a good company. They treat us. They do well by the exhibitors. And it'll be fine. It just sucks. Another example of the pandemic having a direct and serious and negative impact on somebody's economic well-being. Not even to mention, obviously, I don't want to gloss over all the people who are having, you know, health problems and, you know, even more important than financial problems. But here's an example of something that sucks because of the pandemic. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to Chris. Thanks for all the good years working together.
Well, let's get into the real news.
Please.
Right? Johnny Depp has been removed from Fantastic Beasts due to the results of a trial in England.
What?
Yeah, about a defamation trial about the alleged beatings of his ex-wife.
What?
Yeah. And so Warner Brothers said, hey, would you please step down? And he said, I will agree to step down from this movie. And I don't know if you remember when the second Fantastic Beasts movies came out, this story was breaking during the filming of it. And there was a big call for him to get removed from the movie. And the studio kind of was like, no, we'll stand behind him. J.K. Rowling was like, no, we'll stand behind him. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I didn't do it or whatever. Now with this stuff in England where he was unable to prove that he did not do what they said, they said, well, time to part ways amicably if we can. And he agreed. Apparently there seems to be no real public love loss or fight. You know, he was asked, and in his statement, he says, I was asked to resign early, and I chose to follow through with that and respect their request. So I don't know how this movie series will move forward, if they'll recast the character or he just won't be around or
I think there's a bigger story. I think this is a bigger, like, is Johnny Depp going to be, is he going to have trouble finding work? I mean, do we qualify him as legendary? Is that, is he legendary?
There, yeah, and he's up there now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe. I mean.
Oh, I hate this.
I don't know. Here's the thing. Warner Brothers has a big enough thing on their hands with J.K. Rowling. They had to choose one or the other, the creator or the actor, because she is in a world of hurt right now publicly. So,
Well, let's get to that in a second, but and I by no means am trying to express like sympathy, like, oh, poor Johnny Depp, because you just can't act like that. You can't do that. But what I'm trying to express is I think that's a really big story. Yeah. You know, I think it takes Johnny Depp off the board in terms of, like, you know, landing major roles. And I think he's going to – he may need to sort of retire. He had a good career and move on. And I'm sad for his ex-wife, and I'm sad for his family and all the people that are hurt by this. But I think that's a really big story, because I'm not sure – although, geez, if Mel Gibson can make Fat Man.
That's what I was just going to say. Is this a Mel Gibson or who was the other guy that dropped off?
Kevin Spacey.
Well, I was going to say, Kevin Spacey. He hasn't come back.
Right. But, I don't think he can come back from this, and I don't think he should. I'm not supportive of that kind of behavior, but obviously it's big news. And so it's big news for Fantastic Beasts, but I think it's also big news for the movie industry.
Right. Right.
Interesting. All right. Now, listen, I want to tell you, I want to apologize.
Okay.
Second week in a row, I need to apologize to our listeners. Last week, I apologized because I got, I told you about the unfortunate run-in I had with the mystery gobble when I came home from work and he was in my driveway screaming and yelling. Ugh. Yeah, it was brutal.
The tears.
Now, this week, I accidentally jinxed a movie called Free Guy.
Oh, no. Yeah,
Here's what I did. Now, I want to give a little shout out. I don't know if she listens or not, but our former general manager, Lori Kirkner, Lori and I would bend over backwards trying to do stuff to eke out a little bit more business every Saturday or every Friday, or, you know, we would at times sort of really, really challenge ourselves. How, you know, if we're going to do 2,450 people, wouldn't it be great if we could do 2,500, and we'd shuffle show times around, and we always ended up screwing ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and the expression that she and I would always say is, we outsmarted ourselves again. So here's the latest installment of Penn outsmarted himself again. I went around in the booth and targeted trailers for Free Guy and made sure that Free Guy trailer was running in almost every movie playing this weekend. I thought to myself, I need to make sure that this movie is on people's radar. I then went up and down the hallway, and even though our poster is still left over from June or whatever the previous release day was, I think it was June 11th, the poster for Free Guy says June 11th at the bottom. Even still, I put the poster up on both ends of the hallway to make sure that everybody walking through the hallway would see that poster, and then they would see the trailer, and then on their way out, they would see the poster again in the hopes of some good business on December 11th. And now, thanks to my jinxing moves, I am sad to announce that Free Guy has now been removed from the December schedule. So it's out. It's bumped. It's now a 2021 release, and I need to say that that irritates the hell out of me, because this is a middle-of-the-road movie that is perfectly suited to be released in December of 2020. It has an audience waiting for it. It has people ready to come back. It's in December. It should be a good, solid release for December 11th and play strong through the holidays. So I disagree with the studio's assessment that it'll do better in 2021. I think this is the first movie where I'm going to stand up and say, you're not gaining much money by moving it to December 21st or to 2021. In fact, I don't think it's going to end up grossing any more money in 2021 than it would have in December of this year.
Yeah. Now, who's putting this movie out?
I thought it was Universal. I'm not positive.
All right, good. As long as it's not Warner Brothers.
Oh, it's definitely not Warner's. Why do you ask?
Because, I mean, if they'll take Free Guy away, being Wonder Woman, it's right there.
Well, no, I disagree with that. I don't think that
Because Wonder Woman is still set for Christmas.
I think the opposite logic. I think that Warner's – I think that Wonder Woman is its very own thing. So Free Guy is a Fox release, I just remembered.
Okay.
It's a 20th Century Studios release. So that's disappointing. But just to have a hypothetical conversation, because you mentioned it, let's pretend for a moment that it's a Warner Brothers movie. I think that Warner's could bump it and still keep Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman plays by her own rules. I think she is a freestanding building. Like, I don't think other comings and goings affect Wonder Woman's release.
Okay. All right.
But that's just me.
Do we want to get to the somber news for this week?
Well, I mean, it's TV news, so I'll just, we'll talk about it real quick. Alex Trebek, dead at the age of 80. I'm not saying that he died because Sean Connery was no longer around to do his impersonations on Saturday Night Live, but, you put the connection where you think.
Yeah, I feel like there's a tie there,
There's 100% there's a tie.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, whatever. We don't need to get into that because that's TV and I don't have a whole lot to say about it, but we might as well mark the occasion. Alex Trebek dead at 80. And I'll also just point out, I feel like 80 feels young.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that does not feel to me like, didn't Sean Connery, wasn't he 90?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like 80 is, that feels young to me. I really feel bad for the guy. And it's, of course, his family. But let's get on to movie news. You have some James Bond news that I was not hip to.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with semi-news here. Outlander Sam Heughan stated it would be a big yes if he was asked to take over the role of James Bond from Daniel Craig. Now, he put that out there. He also stated that he thinks that anyone who puts on a suit that's British obviously should be in the running. that's kind of interesting. He didn't seem like he was thinking they would ask him, but they speculate, and he said, of course, he would do it. On the other hand of that, it's been confirmed this week in an interview with Lashana Lynch that she plays the new 007 in No Time to Die, at least at the beginning of the movie. Because, Daniel Craig's Bond has been retired. He comes back and she's this agent that he gets teamed up with. The rumors were that she had taken over the 007 moniker, or that she was some sort of 007. She confirmed this week that she was definitely playing 007 at the beginning of the film. She has the moniker. She's not obviously not James Bond because James Bond's in it. But this kind of harkens back to how when we were talking about the marketing for this, I said, notice how it doesn't say James Bond and No Time to Die. It says 007 in No Time to Die. Like, it was the marketing had changed away from Bond to 007.
That's fascinating. How great would that be if Lashana Lynch got the...
Oh, awesome. Well, I mean, we haven't seen the movie yet, but she looks awesome in it. So, going from that alone, it looks pretty rad. So...
Mm. I can't wait.
I'm pumped. So, all right. So, Tenet news. We're not done talking about Tenet. Will we ever be done talking about Tenet? I don't know. December 15th, I think it comes to home video. So, get ready for that. The movie has grossed almost $350 million worldwide. Now,
and still, by the way, I'm not trying to... I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I'll just say, because it's worth mentioning, it is still a competitive movie in the movie theaters. It's like sixth or seventh movie out of 15 titles.
Wow. Like a strong mid-ground this far out.
Yeah. And we're weeks? In week 11, I think.
Yeah, wow, geez. Now, of that $350 million, only $50 million of that came from America.
Mm.
Now... That's kind of odd. I mean, usually we get a lot out of China or whatever, but it's kind of odd to be that low. It's just low in general because of COVID.
Right.
So Christopher Nolan came out and he had something that I think that you'll 100% agree on here.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Warner Brothers released Tenet, and I'm thrilled that it made almost $350 million. Mm-hmm. But I'm wary that the studios are drawing the wrong conclusions from our release. That rather than looking at where the film has worked well and how that can provide them with much needed revenue, they're looking at where it hasn't lived up to pre-COVID expectations and will start using that as an excuse to make Exhibition take all the losses from the pandemic instead of getting in the game and adapting or rebuilding our business, in other words.
A freaking men. And for those of you who follow me closely on Facebook, you will know that I posted the link to that interview with Christopher Nolan earlier this week because I felt so strongly that his comments were spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he has a lot here. I mean, going on, he states like the, you know, we need to stop focusing on just domestic and realize that the worldwide box office can save us. And, you know, don't write off America's film industry, exhibition industry, because it's not doing what it used to do during this time.
So, David.
Yeah.
Shall we take a moment and speculate?
I mean, isn't that what we do all the time?
No. We up until this moment, we've been confidently reporting facts and figures in a very
hard,
you know,
cold facts,
scholarly journalistic presentation. But I speculated something earlier this week that. And again, I'm not trying to whistle in the dark or just only try to make myself feel better, although it does make me feel better. But I think it's safe to say that Christopher Nolan is strongly in the camp of, like, release your movies now. I also think it's easy to say that Christopher Nolan carries a lot of weight at Warner Brothers. I think he's a major influencer with the Warner Brothers executives. Is it possible that this release, this interview that Christopher Nolan just released and the energy that he's putting behind box offices, is it possible that that energy could help to keep Wonder Woman on a Christmas release?
Ooh.
You see what I'm saying? Like, the executives who have to decide what to do with Wonder Woman on 12/25 are the same executives that are reading what Christopher Nolan thinks in the newspaper.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think
it'll
have a big influence on it. You know what's gonna be crazy? I think it's in the first or second week. I think it might be December 15th. Tenet comes to home video, and that is going to be monumental in how things move forward. Because if Tenet comes to home video and performs crazy, that's going to be a bad argument for releasing it in the film. Because they're gonna look at all these people who didn't come to the theater because it only made 50 million. Look at all that, and look at how many people wanted to see it at home. That's where I'm kind of like, it could go either way. I don't think it's gonna go that way because, as we've seen this year, the home video, straight to video release, the PVOD thing is not performing at all. So I don't think it is, but an argument could be made.
Let me just say this about that.
Oh, friend of the show, what's his name?
Hal Lord. Poor Hal. Hal doesn't even know the show exists.
He's a friend of the show.
But he's a friend of the show. And he is famous in my life for, I would go to him with these serious problems and seek advice from him. And he would always start his answer by saying, let me say this about that. So let me say this about that. I have two things. First of all, December 15th is 10 days shy of December 25th. And I think that Wonder Woman is either going to stick or not stick. But I think by December 15th, we will know.
Yeah.
Would you generally agree with that premise?
I would say, yeah. I don't think they're going to pull it out that, like, last minute. But
they can't pull it out that last minute because they're going to start supporting it prior. Like, the commercial, the marketing push needs to come prior.
Okay.
Although, let me contradict myself, which is one of my favorite things to do. Tickets for Croods. Croods opens on November 25th.
Okay.
The first piece of information we got from the studio was tickets go on sale November 20th. Now, they've since upped that to November 17th.
Oh.
Do you follow what I'm saying, though? November 16th, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is the studio on sale date for tickets is not until 9 days before the movie opens. And what that tells me, and I'm not saying somebody agreed with me, somebody from the studio agreed with me, but they didn't disagree with me, is they are waiting until the very last possible minute in case they need to pull the title.
Mm.
So on the one hand, I think that December 15th is too close to December 25th. But on the other hand, hey, what? Maybe not. You know, maybe tickets for Wonder Woman are going to go on sale December 23rd.
That said, I forgot Croods 2 was a movie until a second ago.
So. Well, you're not really the demo. Mind blown. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Penn Cinema, the one, Penn Ketchum, the one and only host of the Penn Cinema podcast after recently abandoned by David Moulton, who stormed off the set in shock and dismay in a protest to not being included in the Croods marketing material. When informed that he's not the perfect demographic for Croods, Mr. Moulton threw off his earphones, stood up from his spinning chair, got his cat, and left.
It's true. Ladies that's how 94 episodes. That's how
it's
ended.
Just us now. It's just you and me, baby. Shit's gonna get wild. You thought the show was bad before. How low can you go? That was priceless. I'm going to say again, we need to be video recording these podcasts because your face when I told you you were the demographic was freaking priceless. I feel like now let me take a moment to interview you here. David, yeah. Were you genuinely hurt when you heard that the director of Croods doesn't care about your thoughts on Croods too?
Sometimes pain can go deep beyond true emotion. And that's what just happened to me there. Here I thought all this time, Croods 2 was a movie for me. Specifically.
Let me tell you something. You forgot that Croods 2 opens on November 20th. And just to give you some perspective, everything in my life right now literally is oriented around Croods 2 opening. Like all of our financial plans, all of our decisions, all of our staffing, all of our management, like everything is oriented around Croods 2 opening on November 25th.
So go out and see Croods 2. That's the motto.
Tickets on sale next Monday. Maybe. The 16th.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. All right. So hit me with some news. What do you got here?
Oh my God. Okay. I'm exhausted from that round, but we have two more pieces of news, both of which are looking ahead to the future and in normal times might not even make our radar, but they are two. One is a very important franchise. The other is a totally irrelevant franchise that I'm going to make the case. I might put this movie on my radar.
Oh,
okay. So the first one is the legit franchise, Jurassic World Dominion. Has wrapped production. It gets released in about a year and a half, June of 2022. I can't wait. Can you imagine, do you think, like 2021 still has a ton of question marks around it, but I feel like by June of 2022, are we gonna be back to like regular movies? Like,
oh my goodness, I hope so.
Please tell me I'm not wearing a mask in 2022.
I would hope not.
Okay. Anyway, I think it's interesting. The reason why I think this is interesting, first of all, I'm glad that they've been working hard on it. I'm glad they're wrapped and I'm looking forward to the release. But it's also an interesting side note. They took an approach to COVID similar to the NBA. And I know you follow the NBA super close, but, I'm going to recap it for our listeners. The NBA, they held the NBA finals and the end of the NBA season in what they called the bubble. So everybody who's associated with the teams, they stayed in this bubble. They didn't leave. They didn't come. They didn't, you know, there's only, you know, very, very strict exceptions, but everybody made that sacrifice so that they could get their business of playing basketball done. And apparently the production team behind Jurassic World Dominion took the same approach and had the cast and the crew and everybody involved with the production in a bubble. And they're still in that bubble. Well, I guess they're not anymore because they finished production, but I just thought it was interesting that they got creative in terms of how to continue making this movie in a year when movie making is, you know, incredibly challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Let me tell you a secret. Are you ready?
Don't tell.
I don't want this getting out there, okay?
All right.
After the last Jurassic World, I was kind of done with Jurassic World. But the fact that they brought the old crew back kind of got me back on board. Don't tell anyone though.
Oh,
as That's between you and me.
That's just between us girls, as I like to say. So you're saying you're on board Jurassic World?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. I just like seeing Sam Neill and, you know, Jeff Goldblum and everyone back. I think that if they're more than just like cameos like Jeff Goldblum was in the last one, I think it could be really cool.
Okay. Jeff Goldblum, I most recently saw in The Big Chill.
Oh.
We talked about that last week. Yeah. What a great movie. Now, one of the worst movies I ever saw at Penn Cinema, and in fact, I did not finish it, was G.I. Joe.
Which one?
The first one.
Okay. All right.
Do you remember what it was called?
There's G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra.
Rise of Cobra or something. I didn't watch the second one because I could not even begin to get past the first one.
Well, let me tell you, I watched both and didn't like either.
What's up?
What's up?
All right, now I want to. So with G.I. Joe Snake Eyes on the release schedule for October of 2021, that was irrelevant to me. I didn't care. But the star of the movie is Henry Golding, who you might remember being the main male lead in Crazy Rich Asians. And he was great in that movie. He seems like a great actor. And he recently gave an interview regarding G.I. Joe Snake Eyes that talked at length about the samurai influence, not just in sword fights and, you know, sort of the combat, but also in the mindset, the philosophy, the approach. And that was enough to intrigue me to think that I am going to give Snake Eyes a chance.
I'm going to
look forward to seeing it. I'm going to carefully track its progress. And I officially now have good, I'm not going to say high, but I officially now have good expectations for Snake Eyes.
Okay. All right.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why actors do press interviews. Because every now and then, an interview comes across a guy like me, and I'm like, huh, okay, yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, all right.
That's how he talks on his own, too, by the way.
What?
That's how you talk on in real life, too. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, now, that's it for all the news that's fit to print. We're going to move now to trailers, and a couple weeks ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, did we announce that we were listening, that we had found the worst trailer ever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What was
that? So I don't think we have anything that's going to take that title away, but I am going to go out on a limb and say that I think we now have the worst batch of trailers ever. Like, as a group, you know, when, like, yeah. you know, yeah. a bunch of freshmen come in and they say, oh, that's the class of 2020. And then that class, that group, gets a personality and sort of develops over time, and you get lumped together with whoever you happen to be, a cohort, if you will. This cohort of trailers is by far the worst group of trailers that we've ever had on the show. There's nothing redeeming about any one of these four trailers. I want nothing to do with any of these four trailers. You want to challenge me on that?
I want to know what your trailer of the week is when we're done.
Oh, God. Well, it's not Willy's Wonderland. It's not Beast Mode. I mean, oh, God. I guess it has to be What Lies Below. It's not I Hate New Year. I guess it could be I Hate New Year's, but what are you gonna,
let's talk about him first.
You're basically like walking down the side of the road and there's four piles of dog poop on the side and you're like, which is the best one? That's what you're asking me to do right now.
You gotta pick. Life or death. Pick. You gotta pick.
All right, let's break it down. The first trailer was that Nicolas Cage?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Willy's Wonderland, which it sounds like it's gonna be child porn, but it turns out it's a horror movie, and I don't know, it has something to do with I forget what, like a game park gone mad or something?
The animatronics come to life.
That's what it was, yeah.
It's a knockoff of a very popular game with the quote unquote kids called Freaky Friday. I don't know. It's a game where the animatronics come to life.
Dave, are you gonna mark your calendar for me?
Oh yeah, please, no problem.
Because today's the day that you started referring to the kids. Ladies and gentlemen, David Moulton, all grown up before your very eyes. Get off my lawn.
2 weeks before his 38th birthday, he officially became old. All right, second movie we have on here is called Beast Mode, which I will say started off and I was like, this looks dumb, but I could be on board. And the longer it went, I was like, nah, it's just dumb.
The longer you watch this trailer, the worse it is. But I have to admit, I watched the whole trailer because it was so bad.
Yeah.
It looked like it was made with outtakes from Michael Jackson's Thriller video.
Here's the thing, though. Not Willy's Wonderland, but of the other three movies, this is the one that looks like it was actually filmed in Hollywood. the filmography looks like legitimate film, but it just so it's about a there's too many plot threads going on here. The first one could have been a movie in itself, and then they added on the horror thing. And the first thing is there's a high level Hollywood star. He gets hit by a car and he dies. So they find a guy that looks just like him, and they say, look, your job now is to act, but your acting is to just be this guy forever. Like, the studio will pay you just to be this actor in real life and in the movies. And so he takes the role, and then the preview switches, and they're like, oh, well, also there's this makeup that can do anything, basically. Heal scars, make you look like whatever. But then when you use it, you then later turn into your deepest inner monster, which is like if you were made up with makeup to look like a monster, then you turn into that monster for a limited time. That's the real premise of the movie. Anyway, it looks dumb. Let's move on.
I was trying to decide if I was going to make the snoring noise and tell you to wake me up when we're done talking about this trailer, or if I was going to okay, everything you had said hit the nail on the head, but it leaves you like speechless because it's so poorly put together.
Right.
All right, the next trailer is What Lies Below, which was my trailer of the week only because it does not look good, it does not look well made, but the premise is perhaps interesting. So take the premise of like bad, rotten stepfather. So teenage girl with a single mom, the mom gets a new boyfriend. The boyfriend, by all appearances, is good-looking, pleasant, you know, handsome, fit, etc. And in other movies, you've seen it, oh, well, it turns out that when mom's not around, the guy's a real jerk.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's, like, the bad guy. I don't want to see this movie, and I'm not recommending that you should see this movie, but what makes it interesting is that there is another twist that the stepfather or the stepboyfriend may be of some sort of supernatural evil. So, like, definitely he's evil, but there's more to it. He's not just a bad guy.
Yeah.
It looks like a little bit of a supernatural twist. The movie is called What Lies Below. I'm sorry if I failed to say that. What Lies Below. There was nobody in it that I recognized, not that that matters, but I don't know. This movie looked like if if I had to watch one of these four movies, this is the one I would watch.
I am with you on that one. I thought the premise was interesting. I kind of liked it. And this is my trailer of the week too. I didn't get the hint that he is bad. I think that the issue is that he's too good, and then she sees all these things like he might be a monster, and has to as opposed from him being the like he treats her negatively, and she has to prove that. I think she sees that he's like a monster. Anyway.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but I thought it looked interesting. She sees him walk into the water, the one scene, and he just like walks underwater, and she's like, "What's going on?" And then he's behind her, and he's totally dry. But yeah, she, and he's like, well, I'm clearly not wet. And she's like, well, I just saw you walk into the water. Anyway.
What are you?
What are you?
Maybe he's Aquaman.
I mean, this is the Aquaman, the scary Aquaman trailer that they told us was coming. Let's move on to an actual scary trailer for a movie called I Hate New Year's that looks like the results of people who wanted to make a movie, probably had a budget, COVID hit, and they're like, that's not stopping us. And instead of having sets, they just filmed in people's like apartments and stuff. Right. And that's what this movie looks like. The not great lighting. Looks like they have great cameras, but bad lighting. And instead of doing like the scene where they film the actor from a perspective where you can't tell if there's someone across from on the table, you know, you can still see the actor sitting on the other side of the table. And yeah, it's a romantic comedy, supposedly.
What's it called, David?
I Hate New Year's.
No, we can talk about the holidays later. What's the name of the movie?
Look, Penn, I'm not leaving until you understand that I hate New Year's.
So I don't know. The movie looks poorly made. I agree with what you said. It's a kind of a dumb premise. The girl tries to track down an ex, may or may not fall in love with her best friend. I don't know. Whatever.
There's music. That was the best part of the trailer, the music.
That's fair enough. All right. Shall we get to our movie review this week?
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. This week, we reviewed the movie Let Him Go.
Let Him Go.
Let Him Go. Let Him Go. Which is the same feeling I had sitting in the theater. Let me go.
All right.
Now, what did you think of this movie?
Okay. I'm glad you asked. I am so torn on this movie because I feel like I don't even know how, like, I've been trying all week, ever since I watched this movie, I've been trying to put my thoughts together about exactly how I'm going to say this. And I guess what I want to say is that there is nothing wrong with this movie. It's really well made. The acting is great. The story is interesting. It's obviously a high end, you know, it's like you mentioned lighting before, like there's some really beautiful shots. There's some really beautiful cinematography. But it at times, and I don't want to disrespect it, but the only way I can put the words together is to say this. At times, it's so boring. Like, you just want something to happen, and it's interesting because it's rated R for violence. Like, the little warning sign says rated R, and then you know how in the box they say, like, profanity, smoking, some violence, partial nudity, rough language, you know, like there's, like, usually a bunch of different things. And this says rated R, and then it has one word which says violence. So I'm watching this movie bored out of my mind, and I'm thinking to myself, my hook for the reason why I stayed engaged with this movie is because I was assured by the R rating that at the end of the movie Kevin Costner and Diane Lane would be kicking some ass when they went back to get the kid. You know what I mean? I thought this is going to be such sweet revenge. Well, the whole R rating is just because they chop off the guy's fingers in one scene, which feels convoluted and unnecessary, and, you know, I think the movie would have done a lot more business if it was rated PG-13. I don't think he needed that scene where he cut the fingers off. I guess it's symbolic because the guy sort of lost his hand and, you know, this kind of stuff. And yes, they did get revenge at the end, and they did burn that mother down, you know, so to speak, and figuratively and literally. And I guess we all knew Kevin Costner was going to end up sort of, you know, taking one for the team. But, like, for example, I have some nitpicky questions. For example, they went through the whole thing through flashbacks of showing Kevin Costner get his son died in an accident by a creek, and they show in a flashback Kevin Costner, George Blackledge, grabbing the body and carrying it through great effort. I mean, it's hard to carry a dead body, and it's they show that. So I kind of expected that the young Indian guy, Native American Peter, I kind of thought that Peter would go into the house on fire and get Kevin Costner's dead body and drag him out so he could be buried and all the bad guys could burn down in the house. So I was frustrated that instead they did that whole whispering thing, which I still didn't really follow. And then they all left, and they left Kevin Costner to burn in the house with all the bad guys.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised they left him in the house, because I thought he's been shot twice.
Right.
Like, rappers survived getting shot twice. Why couldn't drag him outside, get the cops out? I mean, maybe he'll survive. Probably won't, but maybe.
Or even if he doesn't survive, at least you can drag him home and bury him in the farm field next to the sun.
Right, right.
Like,
right,
remember they stopped at that little cemetery? I mean, the filmmakers made a point of showing you the sun's plot,
yeah.
His burial plot. And I think that would have been really satisfying to see the women take this this father and go bury him next to their pastor deceased son. Instead, they leave him to burn to death, or burn with the house that's. So anyway, I mean, I guess it was satisfying that the Diane Lane mom shot the bad guy mom. I don't know. Other than that, I felt like the movie took a long time to get there. What did you think?
Okay, I mean, I made the joke earlier. This is not a bad movie. It's not a good movie. It does all the film stuff right, except for being interesting. I don't know. I thought it was really slow, kind of boring. It seemed like a lot of people were coming out to see this movie, though. So,
well, it was the big number one movie. Not by a little bit. It was double the number two movie.
Right. There were people there seeing it. And I think it has an audience, but kind of like Croods, I feel like it wasn't me. I don't know what it is. I'm watching it, and my first thing I thought is, I understand why they did it for marketing, but they make it, this is a Kevin Costner film. Kevin Costner film. No. This is a Diane Lane film.
Mm.
She carries the whole movie. She gets top billing in the credits before Kevin Costner. And I'm thinking about it. I'm watching it. I'm like, all right, not a lot of competition this year. Diane Lane, if they do the Oscars, best actress? No, maybe?
No, no way.
No?
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe just because she's Diane Lane.
But I mean, what's she going up against? And then I thought, I was like, Emma came out this year, right? Was Little Women last year or this year?
Last year.
Okay. I think Emma came out this year. And I would choose Emma over Diane Lane in this movie. But she does a really good job, like convincing job of playing this grandmother. And I thought that was really good.
I think I could sum this up by saying this is a great example of 2 + 2 = 3.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, all the pieces are great. Like I said, the acting was great. The cinematography is beautiful. There's some period details from that time period, that era, that are really well done. The tension between the two families, that scene where they come to dinner is just hard to watch. I mean, I mean that as a compliment, obviously. It's absolutely brilliant. Those characters are just so awful, the wee boys, you know what I mean? They're just absolutely awful, awful people. And you can, everybody knows what it's like to find yourself in a room with somebody awful and, you need to get something done. So you're trying to sort of tolerate it without, punching them in the throat. So, like I said, I think all the pieces were great. I enjoyed watching it, but I just...
Yeah.
At one point I went out to get a coffee, got the coffee. I came back in and I stood in the theater, like watching the movie, kind of debating to myself, like whether or not I was going to commit to sitting back down and watching.
Yeah. I as far as the ending goes, I kind of thought, and we didn't get it. I thought what's going to happen is she was going to go to the Indian boy and be like, you belong with us. Mm-hmm. And he was going to come back and do horses with her, and the daughter was going to come. There was going to be like a flash, like 6 months later, 4 years later, and then there was going to be a hint of romance between Indian boy and the daughter-in-law.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But anyway, I don't know that I can necessarily recommend this movie unless you saw the trailer and thought, that's a movie I want to see, in which case that means that this is right up your alley. Go ahead.
I would also recommend it if you enjoy, and I say this serious, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. Yeah. Sometimes people enjoy a slow movie with lots of beautiful sort of cinematography and shots of the mountains and long shots of people driving. And it's for some people, they will enjoy that pace. If you like it's not quite a Western, but it almost is. It's close to that genre. So
yeah.
There you have it.
All right. So
next week, we're going to watch Freaky,
which
I think is going to be a welcome change in pace.
Now, wait, before we agree on Freaky, we also have the two smaller films that'll probably go away a lot faster. Do we want to watch one of those?
I think we should watch Freaky. I think the other two films will still be around for at least 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Cool.
We don't really have anything after. I don't know what we have after Freaky. Croods.
Well, I mean, I want to see Ammonite. Croods. I want to see Ammonite. I want to see The Climb. But whatever. Yeah, I'm cool if they're going to be around for a little while. That gives us content. So cool, Freaky it is. All right, let's get into listener.
Wait, are you? Which of those three movies? Which one do you want to see the most?
Freaky. For sure.
All right.
But I also want to see the other two.
That's what I was plumbing for, to see if you were you were hedging on Freaky.
No, I was just thinking of, like, we don't want to find ourselves with nothing to see.
Oh, whoa. This is Penn Cinema, baby. We always got good content.
Oh, what am I thinking?
Talk to me.
All right,
now we're going to move on to listeners' notes, questions, and answers. We always appreciate when people write us, podcast@penncinema.com. We always encourage people to send us questions, and sometimes people send us answers, so that's always fun too. I would love it if somebody would send us an answer, and then tribute to Alex Trebek, send us an answer, and we will try to figure out what the question was.
Ooh, I like that. We got a blast from the past. Right.
This was like a walk down memory lane.
I know. You know how the Terminator, he says, "I'll be back," and he puts the thumbs up, just like that. The Trevenator, he's back.
Thank God. All is right in the world.
Right. And he's got a couple questions for us. Three questions. It says, "Have you guys checked out Love and Monsters yet? I think I remember you guys not liking the trailer. It's much better film than the trailer. A lot of cool monsters, and it's actually really funny. I recommend you giving it a shot." Now, Penn.
Let me try that again.
So you're going to watch it. Yeah, I can see myself watching this, during a snowstorm. Sure. I'm not running out to watch it or anything.
David, you're crazy. There's so many more better things to do with your time during a snowstorm than watch Love and Monsters. There's no scenario where you should be watching Love and Monsters.
No scenario.
No scenario.
Zero scenarios.
So if you're at home in a snowstorm, a blizzard, the snow is piled up over your front door and you cannot leave your house.
Yeah.
You turn on your beloved cable box or whatever you get content from, and there's only one movie playing. And that movie is Love and Monsters. Do you know what you do?
Go outside.
You read a book.
The hate you have for this. This is how
you
I get you to read Dune.
A book.
I'm going to put it on every channel and then just put Dune on the table next to you and be like, make your choice. Here it is.
I don't know. I just have my feelings were too hurt by how the studio managed this title, and I cannot watch this movie without generating internal agita and ill will.
Mm. Well, here's another one he's got. He says, also,
speaking of agita and ill will.
Right. If you talked about it and I didn't hear it, But the announcement with Disney saying they're going to focus a lot more on Disney Plus with all their movies and content, I was wondering what your take on was on that. I know it's TV news, but considering they're going to move a lot of their movies to Disney Plus, it's also an exhibition question. I don't think they're going to move a lot of their movies to Disney Plus. I think Mulan, I think that was enough of a problem for them that it's not going to happen.
First of all, I agree with David. Second of all, if you want to tolerate this question, if you wish to keep it alive, if you wish to keep having this ridiculous conversation about television versus movie theaters, then watch closely what Soul does on Christmas Day when it gets released 12/25. Right?
Yeah.
It's gonna be released. Disney's going to, instead of taking home $200 or $300 million from the domestic box office, they're going to take home nothing, and they're going to have to make some decisions about how they feel about the future of putting their movies on TV. So I do not think that this. I'm soon going to be tired of having this conversation because it's. I feel like if we've learned anything from 2020, it's that big movies need to be in big theaters. 2020 has proven out what I've been telling you ever since we started this podcast, which is that streaming is not a viable business model for Hollywood budget movies. It doesn't work.
Right.
It didn't work before, and in COVID, we proved that it doesn't work now. Mm-hmm. So no, Disney is not going to be moving a lot of their movies to Disney Plus. We may still see some more move. I mean, Soul might not be the last one that moves, but that's strictly related to COVID, strictly related to the streaming wars, and I have nothing but confidence in Disney's commitment to the theatrical exhibition long term. I'm not talking about the next 12 weeks or the next 16 weeks. I'm obviously nobody knows what's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 months. But what I'm saying is long-term, big picture things, Disney is in the business of making movies, and movies go to movie theaters, not to TV.
Right. All right. Final question kind of ties in with that. With some of the big movie chains shutting down, do you think movie studios will try to move in and buy some of them? So you think like, they play their content specifically in theaters, similar to what Netflix did in New York.
That is an interesting question. If you're willing to take into account how the movie business works, so it would be simple to say, you're going to be screwed because Netflix is going to buy up part of AMC and only watch their movies at those theaters. That statement, if you stop thinking about the movie business, yeah, that would be bad for us. But you have to take in the totality of the exhibition industry, which tells you that no producer, no matter who owns the movie, is going to allow the movie to only be released in 10% of movie theaters across the country. No, we've seen that. We're seeing the bad side of that right now with New York City and Los Angeles being closed down, and all the studios are saying we're not going to release our theaters because we don't have a full menu of theaters to show them in. And so now, what could very well happen, which whatever, it doesn't matter to me, but what could very well happen is that Netflix or Amazon or anybody could buy up. Let's just use your example. Netflix buys up part of AMC, and then releases such a movie that they own. What's the one? The Irishman. And that The Irishman is they release it in their cinema wing. That could happen, and they could even make it unavailable to other theaters. But you're always going to be talking about either old movies or small movies. You're never going to have a relevant large blockbuster that ends up quote unquote only available exclusively at AMC.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
just not. It doesn't work. The economics aren't there.
Well, Trevenator, thanks for writing in. You successfully upset Penn 3 out of 3 questions there. You know, that's a goal that I strive for every day. So,
now I'm sweating. I was relaxed, enjoying myself, having a nice time on my favorite podcast, and now I'm all hot and bothered.
Okay, yeah. Nothing to do with all the sun on you right now. It's coming through that window. All right. Encyclopedia Brown wrote in response to last week and said he would love to see a Goonies 2. That's a fact. You can take that to the bank.
I think that's verbatim.
Yeah, I think that
And then I bumped into him recently in the hallway, and I told him, I said, boy, I was really surprised to hear about your enthusiasm for a Goonies 2. Yeah. And boy, didn't he bend my ear for 15, 20 minutes standing there. I mean, I had other stuff to do. I'm trying to get back to work. And he's just going on and on about how he can't wait for the sequel. He really hopes it's coming soon. And, you know, Goonies for life, baby. And then he told me he's going to get a matching when it comes out. He's going to get a matching tattoo. You know, he's got the Goonies tattoo
right
on the one arm. Now, on the other arm, he's going to get a Goonies 2
yeah
tattoo.
He was so excited, he took a magic marker to his Goonies shirt and just put a 2 right next to it.
That's awesome.
Of course, he was not down for it. We're just giving him a hard time. But
he was 100% anti-Goonies
yeah
2.
All right.
And I did bump into him in the hallway, and he did tell me how he felt, and he did have a passion for his answer. It was just the opposite of what we reported.
What? All right. So what are you watching? What are you doing this week? What you been up to? Give me a little quick rundown.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I don't know how I ended up on this, but I rewatched this, and I'm looking forward to – I've seen The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I've never seen the other two. So I started with this one. I'm going to then watch – I forget what the next one is, Plays with Fire or something like that.
There's four of them now, aren't there?
Are there four?
Because the one doesn't have the same girl in it, but it's the spider –
Girl in the Spider's Web.
Yeah.
I may have seen that one, if that one's more recent. What's interesting, I don't know if I did this by accident or if it's the only way you can see the movie, but I watched the movie in Swedish or Norwegian, whatever language they were speaking, and then it had English subtitles. So that was kind of cool. I kind of liked that feel of, like, you know, having that foreign language element to it. That was kind of neat.
There's two different versions, and they both star the same girl. There's an American version and a Swedish version.
Okay.
So you must have just caught the Swedish. But I've read the books, and I really love the books.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen the movies, though. Me, I watched The Bourne Identity last night. You know, I'm not a fan of the Bourne movies, but I'm going with an open mind.
Weren't you talking trash on that last week?
Yeah. And here's what I have to say. I still think it's boring, but I don't think it's bad.
I don't even know who you are.
At one point,
I wish you would have stormed off the set.
At one point, the Blu-ray like skipped, and we had to like search back for where it messed up. And we were talking about like what was the last thing we saw, and I said, "Well, it was about 5 minutes after that really boring car chase."
I think that's your problem, is you don't appreciate a good car chase.
I mean, I don't appreciate that car chase.
I have an answer ready, so it's not fair to spring this on you. But what is the best chase scene in movies?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go ahead and say the opening scene of Casino Royale when Daniel Craig is chasing down the chase starts at the snake pit, and they run through a construction site, and they chase him through the building, and I think that's the best chase scene of all time.
I was just thinking Cars, but I'll agree with that. That's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming up this week, I don't know if you're aware of this, Penn, because, I mean, you probably are, because I know you're big into this stuff, but the big video game systems launched this week. So you got the new Xbox and new PlayStation. I'm just going to say, I have one of them coming.
Oh, snap.
Not one of each. I just have one of them coming. I got the Xbox.
You know, we're doing a lot of business at Penn Cinema, renting the big screens to people bringing in their video games and playing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's happening. People are doing it.
That sounds awesome. So,
yeah. Cool. Yeah, they're having a good time.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Hey, look, if you want to be a part of the show, best way you can do is send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Send us an answer, and we want to figure out the question. That's this week's challenge. Send us an answer. We'll figure out the question. Top 10 Sarah, I'm looking at you. You probably got some good ones. And look, if you want to help support the show, that's a whole other thing. It's a huge thing. Everyone's doing it. How can people do that, Penn?
Well, you got to be committed. You got to be willing to wait in line.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are like lining up for their chance to support the Penn Cinema podcast. So I don't want you to be shy. Pack a lunch, pack a snack, yeah. You know, bring a folding chair in case your feet get tired. And then when you get to the head of the line, add your name to the list of people who want the Penn Cinema podcast to be aired nightly on NBC News.
On the news.
No. Did I say NBC News? Yeah. I meant on the Comedy Channel.
Okay.
Wait, did I say Comedy Channel?
Well, hold on.
I meant on Discovery.
I meant the Millersville College Radio.
Oh, my God. Do you think we could get on the Millersville College Radio? That'd be so cool.
I bet we could. We should try. All right. Well, look, hey, thanks for joining us here on the show. Once again, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.